Email latedebate@rte.ie.
Hello again. Still with us in studio, Paul McCall of Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin North West and the party spokesperson on social protection, Richard Boyd Barrett, Solidarity People Before Profit TD for Dunleary, Matty McGrath, Independent TD for Tipperary, and Christina Finn, political editor with thejournal.ie. Christina, the INMO were in front of the Oireachtas Health Committee today, highlighting what concern?
Yeah, so Phil Nier from the INMO was in the health committee today, and she was saying that the cap on recruitment that the government had implemented was the biggest own goal that they had ever achieved, and that she was pointing to things like agency staff in the health service. I think she said 500,000 euro per month was being spent on them, and she was asking questions about the staff shortages that she said are still evident there in acute hospitals. Now Stephen Donnelly was out defending the budget, saying that I think there's funding here for many additional new hires, and that he did acknowledge that in some community clinics that there was a shortage, but he was alluding to that, you know, over the term of this government they have hired multiples of thousands of new staff. But look, I think a lot of people who have experienced a health service, be it in emergency care or in other units, perhaps would be questioning, you know, some of the pressures there that we have seen in the hospitals. And I suppose the government are saying that, you know, it's not the frontline staff that that are being capped or are being embargoed on. It's more admin staff. So there has, for the last number of months, been this back and forth between those unions and the department and the minister about exactly what staff are being under that recruitment embargo and what sort of shortages in what areas those are being experienced.
All right. There were serious concerns, Paul McCall, have been raised there today. One of them, Phil Nihay, mentioned was that posts that had been unfilled as of December 2023 were simply abolished. They were no longer posts. And then a rep from the SIP2 trade union was told the committee that there were four cancer treatment machines that were currently not in operation as a result of staffing shortages. So this is a real issue.
Yeah, I think both SIP2 and Finlay Hay were in, I suppose, following the previous attendance by the HSC and the department on their recruitment plans. And I suppose what the unions want to do was put on the records their views. And I think it was interesting listening to them on particularly around the calculation of whole time hours. And obviously there's been a reduced working hours for safety reasons. And that then has a knock on effect of how many...
Hours have gone down from 39 to 37.
Exactly, yeah. But like, I suppose there is that broader figure, and what happened up until December last year, essentially what was happening was the HSC were recruiting and putting people in posts that weren't funded. It would be like a school employing extra teachers outside of their ratio, and the HSC had to put a stop to that, and they did, and the embargo then ended earlier this year. Like, there's 28,000 extra people working in our health services since 2020. That's 28,000, including 9,300 nurses and midwives.
Right, but according to the HSE's recent health sector employment report, this is the one that was published in March, there was an increase of around 6,500 management and administrative staff at that place. So that's nearly a quarter of that 28,000 are management and administrative.
But that still leaves 20,000 more frontline healthcare staff working in our system. That's not a cutback, that's not a reduction, that's more people. So that is a positive. And of course, at different levels, you're going to have different operational challenges. And that's why we have to listen to the unions. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But I think overall, the level of investment that's going into the health service is starting to have an impact. And I can see, particularly for women's health, for example, we saw the announcement yesterday around HRT, we've seen previously around contraception, the gynae seek and treat clinics. You know, women's health, there's been huge strides forward by Minister Donnelly. And I think staffing has been one of those achievements. And as I say, it's up by 28,000.
All right, Matty McGrath.
Yeah, I mean, the two striking issues here are the fact that unsafe staffing levels, and structures still exist, and the embargo is still in place. No point in saying it's lifted, it's still there. We were taught this when they lobbied us on, should they lobbied you as well, Paul. They told us about the dangerous staffing levels. We look at UHL, we look at my own hospital in Clonmel, South Tipperary General, and as far as the mental health service and the CAMHS teams, they're not staffed. So I'm glad you got that figure there of 6,500 extra management.
That's as of March.
I don't know what the exponentially. all the time they're growing and growing management, and mismanagement is appalling. Why do we have to have so many pin pushers and managers? Nurses is what we need, and clinical people and frontline. So to have cancer machines idle.
The only point I was going to make was one of the people who rang in today to talk to the Minister for Public Expenditure, the Minister for Finance, was complaining that a lot of frontline staff are bogged down in administrative duties. So some people doing administrative duties may be there to take that burden off the frontline staff.
The more we apply, as we say, not disrespectful, as clerical staff, whatever, it's the more paperwork that they're creating. The difference between a private hospital and a public hospital in a letter that will go from A to B or whatever, 29 times it's handled that letter, different departments in the public hospitals, whereas in private hospitals, maybe 3 or 4 times max, is dealt with efficiently. We're bogged down with officialdom, and we're being bogged down and choked and stifled, and no accountability.
All right, Richard Boyd Barrett.
Sounds worryingly like the promotion of private healthcare to me. But
no, I'm just saying facts.
Yeah, well, listen, I've raised this pay and number strategy multiple occasions in the last number of weeks, and I've just come now from a public meeting in Dunleary, and the government should beware, because the public meeting was absolutely packed. We organised it. Phil Nihay was speaking. Standing room only. Staff from Loughlinstown Hospital, from St Michael's Hospital, from St Luke's, as well as lots of people who in the community who are extremely worried. The reason I organised this meeting is because I got multiple phone calls in the last few weeks about staff being demoralised, about staff who are out on maternity leave not being covered, staff out on who are sick not being covered, people who are leaving or retiring not being replaced. And so there are unsafe staffing levels in all departments in our local hospital, and this is multiplied across the entire health service, right? So patient safety is at risk. Now, what is the issue? Pay and numbers is the new name for the recruitment embargo. So when they announced in July, the government, no recruitment embargo anymore, almost in the same week, a few weeks in between, they introduced a pay and number strategy where the Department of Public Expenditure set a staff quota for the health service and then broke it down in each CHO area and says, that's as many staff as you can have. And it's based on December 2023. And any posts that were not filled in December 2023 were suppressed. So in my area, I've just discovered 11 posts that were unfilled as public health nurses disappeared. Just disappeared, right? The government have been basically deceiving the public about the recruitment embargo, and the result is unsafe staffing levels. What do we need? We need the government to honour its commitment to the framework on safe staffing in our healthcare. Okay. Simple as that.
100%.
Paul McAuliffe, you were saying that recruiting people is only going to raise unrealistic expectations. What do you make of the charge there that Richard Boyd Barrett says that posts are being suppressed, resulting in unsafe staffing levels?
Yeah, but Richard, you do accept, though, that there's 20,000 frontline healthcare workers in place since the government came into place. You do accept that?
First of all, the demands of the health service are grown because we've an older population.
Agreed. And demographics
have changed. An older population. Yeah. So there's no point in saying we spent an extra couple of billion or we recruited this many staff.
It's not a couple of billion. Like, we spend 25 billion. It's a quarter of all of the state spending next year will be spent
because
on health.
Because you under-allocated for the last number of years.
In the interest of giving a few more figures to the listeners, I did quote the management and administrative category there. In December 2019, there were 38,200 nursing and midwifery staff. That had gone up to 47,800 by March 2024. That was a 25% increase. And in the area of the medical dentistry category, there was close to 11,000 in that category by March 2024. It had gone up to close to 14,000. That was up 28%. Anyway.
And look, the reality is, and I'm a member of the Public Accounts Committee and the head of the HSE has come in, and they're determined to try and stick within the budget. And if, for example, there was continued recruitment for unfunded posts and the budget went over and they'd come back for a supplementary budget, Matty and Richard will be the first people criticising the government for not managing the public finance correctly. So the HSE is trying to stick within the budget. There's additional staff. We're not talking about cutbacks. We're not talking about reductions here. This is about more, but it's about managing it within the resources. That's not to say, by the way, that there isn't applications of it. I know in my own area, our local drugs task task force coordinator post couldn't be filled because it was deemed to be a management post, and the HSE looked at that, and that was amended. I think that's what we need to do. We need to see where those posts need to be, like the public health nurses.
All right, Manny McGrath.
And last and all of that, and we can't have done safe practices, we know that's there, is the whole mental health area is completely abandoned. The CAMHS teams, we don't exist in South Tipperary. We saw the scandals in South Kerry. They don't exist. People are waiting and waiting, you know what I mean, for years for their young child to be assessed. It's just an appalling vista. Mental health is a poor relation. And we talked about the phones and watching mental health there. But this is children who need to be assessed for special assistance and special needs. Can't get it. The CAMHS team are non-existent. And many other CHO areas as well. And it's shameful.
All right, Richard Boy Barrett.
Look, it's very simple. Staffing levels have to be set at safe levels. So, for example, if you have one nurse, you can't have more than four patients for that nurse. If you go beyond four patients for one nurse, you're at unsafe staffing levels, right? And this is true in a whole number of other areas in the health service. Right. We are way beyond what is safe in a whole number of areas in the health service. We know the CND, Child and Disability Network teams, chronically understaffed. Yeah. CAMHS teams, chronically understaffed.
The criteria for budgeting, Paul McAuliffe, you know, people will look at the headline figures, but budgeting on the basis of need. So whenever those housing targets are revised, presumably they'll bear some relation to the need that's out there.
Absolutely,
for housing.
Yeah.
What about the health sector as well, where a very wealthy country has the opportunity to reform the health service and bring services up to a level that will actually service the need that's there? Is that not more important than the headline figure?
Yeah, but look, as I say, this very significant increase in health spending over the last 3 or 4 years has resulted in additional services being available within the health service. It's resulted in more people being treated. Like, for example, the outpatient waiting list, for example, is down by 50,000. People are waiting half the length of time that they were previously waiting on outpatient waiting list.
So
I'm not saying everything's perfect. I'm saying there's real signs of improvement where money going in, public money going in, is starting to have results. And I think I'd like to see more of that. But we can't have a situation where the HSE can recruit as many people as they like. No organisation can operate within those guidelines.
But then you just end up paying agency or outsourcing it to private sector anyway.
So would you not give the HSE any budget?
Okay. All right, we've got to take a break. We're back in a minute.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.